From supermarket aisles to hospital waiting rooms, the effects of coronavirus are being felt right across the country in many aspects of life. Should the situation worsen, many offices are planning for their workforces to clear out and start working from home. I'm sure some people wouldn't mind that at all. But how would it actually work? And is working from home just a short-term fix, or could it be a long-term option and solution? Dr. Libby Sander is an Assistant Professor of Organisational Behaviour at Bond University. She joins me now. Dr. Sander, welcome.
Hello, Patricia.
As coronavirus spreads, how will workplaces have to adapt so that working from home is a viable option?
I think there are a number of changes that will have to be put in place. The first is that people feel that, you know, if it is a voluntary offering, that they won't suffer as a result of that. So is the technology in place? Have we thought about how we will coordinate work? And what are the processes are in place to support people working from home, including the setup of their workplace at home?
We've all heard about the various multinationals or startups that have flexible work arrangements. But which companies are already making employees work from home as a response to coronavirus?
So it's certainly becoming more prevalent in the last week. We've seen Amazon, Twitter, JP Morgan, NASA in the US. In Australia, Clayton Utes closed their offices temporarily last week, and Southern Cross University closed their campuses today as a result of a positive test. Google also sent about 8,000 of their staff home as a test from Dublin last week to see, okay, how would we make this work and is it going to be viable?
So what are the costs involved in working from home? Is it an expensive exercise?
So if we look at sort of costs of hosting people in the workplace, often that's more expensive because of real estate and lease costs and other sort of housing related costs. And people are often more productive at home. Studies have showed up to 13% more productive. So, you know, many employees nowadays have mobile technology, you know, whether it's laptops, and the ability to connect from home. So the expense isn't such a big consideration. It is actually less expensive for people to work from home, including obviously considering the commuting times and the reduction in those hours.
Surely there are some downsides though to being isolated and working at home in terms of collaboration, sharing ideas, all the other things we do in a workplace.
Absolutely, Patricia. And that's one of the biggest, I think, barriers why we haven't seen more take up of working from home, because people do feel socially and professionally isolated. There's less interaction, obviously, especially obviously face to face. And so the ability to share knowledge and to sort of pop in for a quick chat to someone is taken away. And so some people feel that there are negative consequences to their career. In some cases, relationships with co-workers can be affected, particularly in companies where working from home or flexible work is not widely practiced or widely accepted. In those cases, people who are still in the office can become resentful. But where there's widespread acceptance for flexible work arrangements, you know, that effect tends to be less. And there was a study last month that actually showed that people who work from home were promoted at equal rates as those who work in the office. So I think that those kinds of things will start to reassure people. So we have to make sure that we put in place good communication rituals. Using video technology can help overcome those feelings of isolation, making sure that we're coordinating workflow and how work is actually being done. So, you know, if that's done well and people can see the benefits, we also need to change our management style from this idea that, you know, if I can't see you, I don't know what you're doing. So, you know, are you just watching Netflix or are you actually being productive? And so, you know, those kind of things will require a change, I think. But hopefully people will see the benefits and start to question, do I really need to go to the office or can I actually work from home at least some of the time?
Lots to think about. I'm thinking about this a lot. I know lots of workers are thinking about this a lot. How do managers ensure their employees are actually working without making them feel surveilled constantly?
I think it's really about shifting that focus to what are the outcomes that we're trying to achieve in the organisation rather than, you know, the process. You know, we have this idea that FaceTime equates to being, you know, productive at work. And we know that doesn't. Studies show that people spend a great deal of time at the coffee machine and the water cooler and, you know, doing things that aren't necessarily productive. And if we have a focus on what are the outcomes and outputs that we're achieving, then it should be less important, you know, where people are doing that, you know, maybe what time of the day they're doing that, but rather, you know, a focus on the results that are being achieved. And when both the employee and the employer are kind of mutually agreeing those results, then the research shows that that produces better outcomes.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Dr. Libby Sander is an assistant professor of organisational behaviour at Bond University, working from home. Have you done it? Have you tried it? I got to say, not so easy for me, as you can imagine, with the whole microphone studio business, but I know lots of people who do, and they love it, actually. They find it makes them very productive. And, well, there's not as much sort of water cooler conversation, not that we have those anymore. 0418 226 576 is the text line.